Welcome back to Mound Money. Thank you again to Jason and the Stein Erickson Lodge for coming in. On the phone with us now, we have the owner and operator of Judy's Donuts and Coffees in Midway. I teased earlier at the beginning of the show that you might be expecting me to say welcome to Judy. Welcome to Mound Money, Mandy Wright.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. So Mandy, did you start Judy's Donuts, or is it a company that you bought?
Oh, no, I started it. We did. We opened about 3 months ago.
Okay. And the name Judy, is that a family member?
Judy is my mom, and she is in heaven, and she loved sweets and donuts and anything that had carbs and sugar in them. So I named it after my sweet mom.
Awesome. All right. Well, we have my co-host, Roger Goldman, is here with me, and he did a little bit of a car ride this morning. Roger, I'll let you tell about your experience.
Good morning, Mandy. I did get up early and drove to the donut shop and have a beautiful half dozen sitting in front of me. I wanted to talk a little bit about what some of the specialties are. And it turns out that, according to our producer, Bob, I missed a really good one, because while I asked the fine staff there to give me a selection of their best, I did not get a maple bar. Let's talk a little bit about the maple bar.
Well, the whole reason I kind of started a donut shop was because I love maple bars, and so did my mom. The maple bar is a buttercream maple that's generously put on the top of the donut bar. It is amazing. I'll bring you one next time. How about that?
Fair enough. And then, but we did get a selection of donuts. We have a maple donut. We have a croissant that has something dark in it. Is that a chocolate croissant, or are they fruit croissants, or do you have both?
I've got both there today. I've got a chocolate filled, and we've got some berry filled of different kinds. We have a lot of people ask for them, especially the chocolate. So we just started doing the chocolate ones just this past week for the holiday.
And we're really going to engage in an effort here to make our listeners jealous and want to see the donuts we have. But the most incredible-looking one that I have in front of me is a chocolate-covered donut that seems to have brown powder on it, which I suspect is graham cracker, and a large marshmallow. What do you call that one?
Oh, that's our s'mores. This is a great donut to have, especially this time of year, because you don't have to smell like a fire. So it's a... We hand fire the marshmallows that are on the top, and so they are already good to go. You don't have to smell like the fire that you have outside, and they are huge, loaded with chocolate, graham crackers, and already a toasted marshmallow.
And it is beautiful. You can tell that it's been hand-roasted, probably with one of those hand-portable torches. Your staff did a beautiful job. I am drooling.
Call it a flamethrower.
A flamethrower, thank you, yes. Hopefully a small one. Your staff did a beautiful job preparing those donuts. You mentioned earlier that your mother, Judy, was a fan of sugar and carbs and, you know, anything delicious. There are trends where carbs go in and out of favor. The keto diet, famously, and I know a lot of donut places actually felt the impact of that. Some of the homemade bread places felt the impact of that. I'm vegan. Currently, veganism is starting to be a trend. Do you see those trends impacting your business, and do you offer products for those folks, or do you just stick to the core of what you do?
Well, we do have, usually on the weekends, we have a vegan and gluten-free, actually, peanut butter bar, and it is good. We are working on some recipes for a donut. They're kind of tricky, I have to tell you, especially for a yeast one.
I can imagine.
But we are working on it. I've got a professor down at BYU that is helping me with the recipe. So we've done a few, but they've been a little dense. That's the problem with the yeast donut and the gluten-free vegan. We're working on it.
So let's segue a little bit to the, as a business show, we like to understand sort of the business that you're into. I take it you prepare the donuts. When do the donuts get made?
They are made pretty much all night. And then they're decorated. We start decorating around 4 in the morning. So we hand cut each of them. So we're not on the line that pushes them out. So they are each individually made, and they are individually, you can tell by the craft on it, they're not mass produced at all.
They're not. And so tell us about your...
It'd be easier, but it wouldn't be as good.
Tell us about your staffing model. How do you run a business that requires people to bake donuts online?
Well, to be honest with you, I had no idea what I was getting into. I just had this, we had this home on Main Street in Midway, and it was a rental, and I'm always thinking of these great ideas, and one of them was, hey, we need a donut shop here. So we started remodeling this historic home, and when it came time to learn how to actually make a donut, I was very surprised. It has a lot of science behind it. Temperatures of the room, humidities and the proofer, rain can definitely change up a donut. So I had never made a donut, and also the people who I hired as my bakers, we actually ended up learning together. So we worked on them for about a month before we opened up. And so I've got two bakers that are very generous and with their time, and they are very generous with their talent.
Mandy, that's fascinating that you had never...
We just hadn't learned together, to be honest with you. My daughter is my right hand, and so the four of us, along with myself and my bakers, are the ones who have to get up early in the morning, start in the middle of the night, and get them made.
So looking at these beautiful donuts that Roger brought in, I would never know that there was a time you had never made a donut, and that this was not a lifelong passion of yours. I'm curious, as Roger said, we're a business show. We like to talk about business ideas and how they go from an idea to reality. My father, when I was growing up, ran a small grocery store, much like the 7-Elevens that we have here in Utah. Unlike the 7-Elevens, my dad's store was not open 24 hours, but pretty close to it. It was open till 1 a.m. and opened up the next day at 7. And going into work,
pretty much all day.
Yeah, pretty much. And going into work with my dad in the summers, having to leave the house at 5:45 to get there in time to open it up. One of the things I knew growing up was, God willing, you know, I did not want to run a small grocery store for my future. And I did get solace when I was a child by the Dunkin' Donut commercials about the guy waking up at 3 in the morning to go in, time to make the donuts. Now, you and I are probably about the same age. I'm sure you saw those commercials as well, time to make the donuts. And that made me feel better because there was somebody waking up at 3 a.m. and instead of, you know, leaving the house at 5:45 to open up the grocery store. Did you think about other businesses, other, you know, maybe like a restaurant idea that would also honor your mom in that space? And if so, how did you decide donuts were what you wanted to do?
Well, my mom actually grew up in a restaurant. My grandparents owned the Idle Isle Cafe that is in Brigham City. Even today, it's still running. And they do specialty candies also. So my mom grew up in a restaurant. My grandpa, I remember when we would visit, we were all kind of the basement kids, all the grandkids, and I could hear him putting on his boots and walking out the door probably at 4:30 in the morning to go, you know, get ready to prepare for the day at the restaurant. So it kind of was in my blood, I guess I should say. My son also owned a restaurant in Salt Lake, the Rye Restaurant. that is quite popular down in Salt Lake. And to be honest, I just really like donuts, and so does my mom. And I was thinking of something that would be a fun place to gather people around. Everybody likes a donut. So that's kind of how it happened.
And I see that you're open till 7 in the afternoon. Tell us a little bit about the traffic pattern you see from a business perspective. I guess I would always think of a donut shop as a place where the business would mostly taper off by about 11 in the morning. Is that what you're seeing? And again, how do you deal with that from a staffing perspective?
Well, we have a full coffee bar and a soda bar, and we also have a drive-thru. So in the afternoon, we sell quite a bit of soda and actually quite a bit of coffee. People like to stay up at night, I guess. So for staffing, in the mornings, we usually have more in the morning, and then in the evening, we'll have just a couple of my help to close the store. It's not as busy in the evening. And in the winter, when school starts, we will probably close earlier.
Mm-hmm. Have you thought about adding some other kinds of foods for the afternoon shift? Something sort of not as sweet?
Well, I have worked on, it is really good. It is a donut that is a grilled cheese donut with some sea salt on the top. So it is incredible, but the problem is we sell out of our donuts, so I haven't, I would have to make more to be able to do something like that. So that is up the pipe. That is in the pipeline. Yeah, we'll do some grilled cheese donuts. I know that there is a lot of chicken and donuts that are getting popular. I don't know. That's something I'm thinking about.
Like a fried chicken and waffle kind of thing where you would do a fried chicken and donut. That sounds like literally the best of all worlds.
I know. Sounds like a lot of work, but sounds like a lot of frying. But that is something that we're thinking about.
Our producer has just reminded me that I should ask you a little bit about the building, because I understand this is a significant restoration of a historic building. Is that correct?
It is. We have renovated, I guess this will be our third older home here in the Hebrew Valley, and I really wanted to preserve the history of that home and the history and legacy of my mom and our family. So it took us a year and a half, actually, to get it all done, and we added an Airbnb upstairs. So in there, it would have been a lot cheaper to probably tear it down, but in the long run, I am so happy to have people that have come by whose grandparents live there, or people who just remember the home. And in the home, I have the rafters we have made our tables into. I have the original floors in there. I have pictures of my grandparents dipping chocolates and in the restaurant. I preserved the old wallpapers I pulled off and framed them. It really is a legacy to my mom, too. She was a box elder B. So I've got honeycomb tile. I've got some things that highlight her past, and a lot of family pictures. My husband is from Midway, and his dad was a coach and a counselor at the original Wasatch High School. So okay. I've got a picture of the original high school where it stood, and now is the city park. So there's a lot of history in there. So I want to have people like bring their families. I've had a lot of my extended family come up that I haven't seen for quite a while. It really is a place to celebrate each other and to enjoy actually a donut while you're at it.
So thank you. We have had a wonderful conversation. On that note, I think we have to wrap it up, Mandy. We've got a wonderful conversation with Mandy Wright, who runs a donut shop and a BND, bed and donut. Operation as well.
There you go.
We'll be right back after this.